The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to World Weekly from the Financial Times. I'm Gideon Rachman. Today we're looking at Italy, where elections are taking place on March the 4th. Our Rome correspondent, James Politi, was passing through London this week, and I sat down with him to discuss the prospects for the Italian election. So, James, it looks like we're not going to have a clear result. There are four big forces, neither of whom is going to come out decisively ahead. Is that accurate?
Yes. All the projections assume that there's going to be no clear majority, which means that there's going to be a huge amount of horse trading and uncertainty after the vote. So you have one bloc, the center-right, led by former Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, who has about, combined, they have about 35% of the vote. Then you have the five-star movement, an anti-establishment, Eurosceptic movement, which has about 28%. And then you have the ruling Democratic Party with about 24%.
So all in all, though, I mean, if the Democratic Party, the ruling party, are on 24%, this doesn't look like a result that is going to signal business as usual to the rest of Europe, because they're a classically pro-EU party. The Berlusconi coalition, as I understand it, is varying flavours of Euroscepticism, and the five-star movement, goodness knows where they're coming from, but they have been fairly anti-EU in the past.
Yes, I mean, it's sort of a very troublesome scenario. The one saving grace, in a way, might be a sort of grand coalition of centrist pro-European forces, which could emerge after the vote.
Who would be the Democrats' partner in that kind of scenario?
Well, in that situation, it would be Forza Italia, which is the sort of center-right led by Berlusconi, who actually is more moderate than the Northern League, and other centrist parties that could be cobbled together. Possibly the moderate wing of the Northern League, possibly elements of a left-wing party called Free and Equal.
It is incredible, isn't it, that Berlusconi is still now the dominant figure, at least in this election. He's in his 80s. He's served a jail sentence. How come?
Yes, I mean, he's 81 years old. He has recovered from heart surgery, sex scandals, being ousted at the heat of the sovereign debt crisis. And he's actually on track for one of Forza Italia's worst performances electorally, but he will still be a key power broker after the election. And he, in some ways, is sort of the pivotal figure. So he will have a huge amount of influence on what happens afterwards. And he's now casting himself as sort of a bulwark against the populism of the five-star movement, and is sort of presenting himself as a reassuring father figure.
But because of his jail sentence, as I understand it, he can't play a formal role in government.
Yes, he is banned from public office until 2019, so he cannot be a member of parliament. But he'll still be at the center of the campaign, and intends to be at the center of the campaign. And if Forza Italia does well enough, he'll be the one kind of picking the next prime minister.
And you laid out one possible scenario of the centre-left sort of cobbling together a relatively conventional government. But is it also possible that we'll have a more populist-flavoured government with five-star the Northern League participating?
It is possible. I mean, one other scenario would be that the centre-right wing wins with a huge amount of influence with the Northern League and the coalition, which has called for an exit from the euro. Another possibility is five-star performs very strongly, comes in solidly first, and actually seeks out the Northern League as a coalition partner. And that would be, I think, the most anti-EU coalition out there. Now, there's a question about whether they would go ahead aggressively towards a plan to exit the euro, for instance. But clearly, that would be the biggest threat to the EU.
And the rest of the EU has been watching developments in Italy with some nervousness for, you know, many years, partly because of the sheer size of Italian debt at over 130% of GDP. Do you think that the markets will react calmly, more or less, to whatever happens? Or could we be in for a few gyrations if this election goes, inverted commas, wrong?
I think there could be some gyrations. The markets are actually quite relaxed about the Italian election. The 10-year bond yield is roughly where it has been, at fairly low levels. And I think the assumption is that there's going to be some kind of grand centrist coalition. But you know, markets may be underestimating the Italian risk at this point, because if the Eurosceptic parties do well, then they will initially push for a much more expansive fiscal policy, which will almost certainly lead to budget deficit, you know, above the 3% threshold, but possibly even higher. And I think that worries about Italy's fiscal sustainability could start to flare up even before you get into the discussion about will Italy stay or not stay in the euro.
And I mean, we talked about the election in a way from the viewpoint of outsiders, how Brussels will regard it, how the markets will regard it. What are Italians actually talking about? What are the big issues in the election?
Well, I think at the moment, the big issues are jobs, migration, and generally the health of the Italian political system and corruption within the Italian political system. Having said that, the campaign is being fought very much on personalities and personal fights between the leaders. And I think a lot of Italians are disenchanted with what they're seeing. And we can probably expect a reasonable amount of abstention. There are many, many Italians would shrug their shoulders and say, what's on offer is just not very appetizing.
And taking those issues one by one, I mean, jobs, Italy still does have very high unemployment, doesn't particularly youth unemployment. On the other hand, the Eurozone is said to be recovering. Is there any feel-good factor at all?
The numbers certainly say that unemployment has come down. It's now 11% compared to 13% at the height of the crisis. You know, even youth unemployment is down to 32.7% rather than 45, which is not an insignificant improvement, but still, it's not necessarily enough to make a political difference. I think a lot of Italians are still struggling to see the benefits of the recovery, and I think that's where some of the PD's problems lie.
Yeah. And migration, the flow of refugees into Italy has been really intense in the last couple of years. The numbers seem to have come down, but it's still quite a significant number, isn't it? It probably was over 120,000 last year.
Yes, it was 120,000 last year, which is down from 181,000 in 2016. The current government took some pretty aggressive steps to try to stem the flow through sort of controversial deals with the Libyans. But the political damage in some ways has already been done. And certainly one of the key planks of the center-right's campaign in particular is they're saying we're going to stop this invasion of migrants, which is certainly something that the center-left is struggling to respond to, even though the numbers have come down. And sort of in the grand scheme of things, they were not so huge in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, what is the situation of the migrants and their impact on Italian society? Are they sort of cooped up in camps? Have they integrated into the society? Are they moving out of Italy? What's going on?
Well, there was a big shift in between 2015 and 2016, and that in 2015 and 2014, they would move through Italy and they would move up north. And now the borders with the northern European countries have been sealed in a way. So now they're stuck in Italy, even if they don't want to be there. So there are a lot of challenges related to integration. Many of them wait for months and months for their asylum applications to be processed. And during that time, it's hard for them to find jobs. So they're often in reception centers or wandering around reception centers without any real prospect. And Italy is struggling to teach them Italian, give them jobs, and truly give them sort of a pathway towards a successful integration. And I think that that's where a lot of the challenges come from.
So just to conclude, it looks like the results of this election are going to be pretty inconclusive. What do you see the atmosphere in Italy being if we get a sort of fairly deadlocked situation? Will it just be on to another election and business as usual, or is this more of a kind of turning point election?
Well, I think that there's going to be a huge amount of horse trading. There may be even some sort of shifts and MPs that were elected with one party moving to others. The president of the republic is going to have a very big say in what happens next. And we could go to another election 6 months down the road or a year down the road. So I think we're entering a period of great uncertainty for Italy and for the Eurozone.
Okay, well, James, thank you very much indeed. I better let you get on and get back to Italy this evening. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.